Eclectic Wisdom. Life is given as a gift, so wonderful and new. We need to live it day to day, being careful as we do. For life can give us many years or only months or days. Each moment must be savored and used in special ways. Stop and take a moment to help the poorer man, or teach a child something, lend a helping hand. Small things take but minutes, and one thing is plain to see. Great rewards return to you. Give the best of life. It's free. Megan Beardsley, 16.
Redzi, by Barry Fireman. Redzi was not only the class clown. He was the class terror, because he was fearless. He was always in trouble with Miss Farley, our first grade teacher. Miss Farley couldn't punish him enough to change his behavior. He did whatever he wanted to do, no matter what. He was also the smartest kid you ever saw. We were at the beginning of our first year of school, and Redzi could already count all the way to 100. But Redzi had a little problem. He couldn't say the TH sound. He couldn't say the word three. It came out free. It drove Miss Farley crazy because she thought that he could do it right if he only tried harder. Every time Redzi would get caught doing something wrong, Miss Farley would keep him after school and make him practice the THs. On Friday afternoon, Miss Farley announced that we were all going to count up to 100 the following Monday. Sure enough, when Monday rolled around, Redzi was the first one to be called on by Miss Farley to come to the front of the class and count. As he passed her in the aisle, Miss Farley grabbed his sleeve and their eyes met. She was a mean old woman who strictly insisted on having things done her way. I remember not ever wanting to look her in the eye. We were all terrified of her, except for Redzi. He wasn't afraid of anything. Redzi started counting fast and furiously the instant he reached the front. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The class snickered and Miss Farley started to get red in the face. Redzi got a little flustered too, because he realized what he had just done. He had told us in the schoolyard before class that he was going to do it right. On he went. 10, 11, 12, 13. The rest of us began to giggle and stifled laughter broke out here and there. Miss Farley stood up and glared at the class. We all stopped and became quiet as Redzi flew on into the 20s. Then the magic moment arrived. Redzi got into 29, and when he did, the class held its collective breath in unison. Redzi met Miss Farley's stare with utter disregard and cried out, 29, 30. Then Redzi flew on in a continuous non-stop torrent. 31, 32, 33, with a huge smile on his face. The entire class exploded in laughter. We were seeing Redzi at his best. He knew just exactly what he was doing. Our laughter was much more important to Redzi than Miss Farley's wrath. Miss Farley lunged at Redzi to get him to stop, but he dodged her as easily as a rabbit and continued. 34, 35, to a rising din of uncontrolled laughter. The laughter continued through the 40s. When he reached the 50s, the laughter began to subside, and Redzi slowed his pace as he continued to dodge Miss Farley's now feeble attempts to grab him as he ran back and forth in front of the class. She finally gave up and sat down at her desk, and Redzi picked up the pace. As he flew past 90 free, no one uttered a sound because we all were afraid of what would happen when he got to the end. 99, 100, he bellowed. Then, silence. Miss Farley remained at her desk with her head lowered, her face in her hands. She was shaking uncontrollably, and we became alarmed. After a long moment, she lifted her head and laughter burst out of her like the breaking of a dam. Then the entire class joined in, including Redzi. Miss Farley finally agreed, for the first time in her long teaching career, that she had been had by the best.
What's a miracle, Granddad? Written by Lou Talmage. What's a miracle, Granddad? Asked the 5-year-old Sam. He looked up at me with his innocent and wide eyes. I did know of a miracle. It happened to a friend of mine named Bart. One day, Bart decided he wanted to have a dog. Bart's parents agreed to let him have a dog from the animal shelter, but they wanted to help pick it out. Bart agreed. Next morning, Bart and his parents drove to the local animal shelter. There were two dogs that Bart liked. It was very difficult, but Bart finally picked one. He called him Scruffy. Scruffy looked exactly like his namesake. He was a small terrier type with hair going in all directions. His color was sort of brown and sort of red, and there was even gray in there, too. He was a very energetic dog, never still for a second. He just wanted to play and run around. Bart's parents did not like Scruffy at all. Scruffy was too energetic for him. He was not a good-looking dog. The other dog, called Lady, was a very pretty dog. Lady had quiet manners and was a handsome beagle. Bart agreed that Lady was a much prettier dog and gentler. Since his parents insisted, he agreed to adopt Lady and not Scruffy. Bart held Lady all the way home. She slept in Bart's room that night and the next night, too. Bart liked having her near him. He started to love that sweet dog. On the third day, tragedy struck. For no apparent reason and with no warning, Lady quietly died in her sleep. It was a tragic moment for the family. Bart cried and cried. His mother did, too. His father cried a little also. Bart felt heartbroken. Lady had become the love of his life. The next morning, after they had laid Lady to rest, Bart said, "Mom, Dad, I really like the other dog, Scruffy. I know he liked me, too. Can't we go back and get him?" His parents told him to forget Scruffy because 3 days had gone by and it would be too late. "Too late? Too late for what?" he asked. They explained that the animal shelter only keeps stray dogs for 3 days, and if they're not adopted, the shelter has to do something about it. "Like what?" asked Bart, not wanting to hear the answer. "They have to put them to sleep," said his mother gently. His father put his arm around Bart and added, "There are just too many dogs and cats in the city, Bart. The shelter only has so much money and so few volunteers to take care of them. The animals do not suffer at all. A veterinarian just puts them to sleep. It's done very quietly and painlessly." "I guess they have no other choice," Bart said. "But let's go back anyway. Maybe we can save Scruffy." Bart's parents argued against going back. They said it was too late. There's no way that Scruffy could still be in the shelter. They warned Bart not to expect anything but disappointment. But Bart's parents drove him back to the shelter. Bart's dad parked the car inside. He had seen the veterinarian's car parked in the official's spot. He did not want to tell Bart that this was a veterinarian who put the animals to sleep. The three of them entered the shelter. They went directly to the cage that had held Scruffy 3 days before. It was empty. "Scruffy is gone," said Bart. "Mom, Dad, he's gone." "We tried to tell you, try to understand," said his mother. "Can I help you folks?" said a voice. Bart whirled around and saw a young woman in a white coat. "Are you looking for a dog to adopt?" she said. "Yes," said Bart. "I want the dog that was in here, in this cage. The dog is gone. I want that dog." "The veterinarian was late getting here today because of car trouble. What you want is in that room over there." She pointed to the door. Bart bolted past her and raced through the door. It was marked "Private, keep out." In the middle of the room on a cold steel table was Scruffy. He was strapped down. His legs were kicking. His brown eyes were wide with fear. His tongue was hanging from the side of his mouth. Standing over him was a vet, an ugly hypodermic needle in his hand. Bart jumped into the room. He screamed at the veterinarian. "Stop! Stop! Please!" said Bart. "I want that dog. Don't kill him." Bart got his dog, and Scruffy still lives with Bart today. "Do you know what a miracle is now, Sam?"